You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
There's a brand new look to the Radio Shopping Show.
WRMN1410.com.
Fine dining, travel, entertainment, and more all in one place.
WRMN1410.com.
Roadshow schedules, featured items, and Radio Shopping Show rules.
WRMN1410.com.
Go to www.WRMN1410.com now for all your Radio Shopping Show information. The Radio Shopping Show, the most amazing show on the radio. Heard only on WRMN AM 1410.
They're going to jump out of trees. They'll go down the slide head first. They'll make parachutes out of sheets. But one of the most dangerous things kids will do happens while they're sitting perfectly still. Kids who ride in a car without a booster seat are much more likely to suffer serious or fatal injuries, but amazingly, 80% of all kids who need them aren't in them. After a toddler seat and until they're 4'9", boost your kids and don't let them down.
Go to boosterseat.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave them helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
You and I haven't shaken hands yet. You've never chatted at a party. Our kids play different sports.
But I can honestly say, without ever having met you,
I'll help save your life. Your support could save a life. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
So, what are you doing tonight?
I'm going over to Jason's watch videos.
Yeah, who's going to be there?
Jason, Tom, Eric, and me.
Uh-huh. And what are you guys going to watch?
What is this, 20 questions?
No, just three. What are you going to watch?
Mom, Dad, if you love us, you'll ask us the important questions. Because if you don't, who will?
Well, they told me they rented a copy.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Not bad. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Oh, I'm hearing an echo in here.
Yeah.
Echo?
Try this microphone over here.
All right.
Whoa, that sounded good. All right, that's better. All right, well, I had an interesting night last night. my newly bride's dog, Charlie, got a haircut yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And every time he gets a haircut, he gets an attitude about himself, like, don't mock me, or I don't know what, or I'm just up now. I'm not sure. So he stood up to my German Shepherd, and we're sitting by the camp by a bonfire outside, you know, and just Charlie's up on my wife's lap, and his paws are, and my Henry, my Shepherd is up on mine, and all of a sudden, they just did nose to nose.
Oh, no. and then Dennis, oh no, they're gonna, and then it was too late. Charlie went right after Henry.
Oh really?
And we yelled at him and pulled Henry back. Henry backed off. Charlie went right back at him again.
Oh man!
Pulled him off. Charlie went right back at him again. Now Charlie's like about, well, he was 40 pounds until he got a haircut. He was your typical shaggy dog, and they had to cut him, shave him. So he was probably 20 pounds. 20 pounds of hair.
Nice.
And so against my 80 pound shepherd, you know, two years old versus 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
There was no contest. They went for his neck. And, well, eight stitches on the neck, 15 stitches on the neck.
Oh, okay.
So, spent a lot of the night at Sunday Animal Hospital last night.
Wow.
Oh,
crazy
God. God. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what Charlie was thinking.
Obviously, he wasn't thinking.
I mean, he's done this before.
Wow.
When Pam had another dog, he faced up to the, you know, and lost a tooth that time.
Oh.
He just doesn't seem to learn. But I guess Charlie's going to be all right.
Good,
good. Lethargic from the anesthesia.
Well, sure. Does he have to wear one of those cones now around his neck?
No, I guess because he has a neck wouldn't go around anyway. No, he's banded. He's just wrapped all over
okay.
the place.
All right.
Okay, so enough of that. Hey, well, just 1 second on the Bears.
7-0.
7-0, 41 points in the half?
Yeah.
I mean, is that some kind of record I think I heard?
Well, it's the Bears record.
Oh, a Bears record.
Yeah, I think so.
Uh-huh.
Franchise record, as they call it.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. Okay, well, that's pretty outstanding.
It was outstanding, but they ended the game with 41 points.
Yeah,
so
well, I think they just sat on the lead.
It could be. I know they had Greasy come in. They had the backup running back.
A lot of backups.
Yeah, a lot of backups come in the game.
Right. Right, maybe Lovey didn't want to just, you know, push the lead, you know.
Yeah, well, if he did want to push the lead, I don't know if you saw the whole game, but right before the half ended, they went deep on a pass and scored another touchdown to make it 41. I thought, well, San Fran's going to get upset for this now. And I would have been upset, too, if I was San Fran down 40, you know, 35
yeah,
to nothing.
This has been a long time coming, though.
Absolutely, it's been a long time. Score as many as you can now.
Oh, boy, it's fun. But hopefully the Cardinal game was just a little blip in the curve.
Yeah, well, it looks like it.
You know.
We got a tough road schedule. The next three games could be tough for us.
Yes,
though.
It could be a good test.
Two New Yorks and then New England all on the
yes,
road.
That's going to be a really good
mm-hmm.
test to see if the Bears are really for real
mm-hmm.
or not. Okay. Let's move on to the stupid regulation of the week. And, I'm hearing quite a feedback on this mic, Mike. Is it the way to turn it down a little bit?
It's like...
Yeah, I'm turning that down.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem to... Okay. All right, anyway. Activists sued Wednesday to strike down a new city law that makes it illegal to feed... Oh, no, we did that one. Obviously, I had to get some sleep. Let's just go to Grace.
Sounds good to me.
Hi, Grace.
Hi. Ken, I have a problem. I'm a small... In a small way, I'm a... avid reader of nonfiction history of the German Reich, the Nazi era. And I have read about Himmler's book that he had for torturers. Waterboarding was in there.
Oh, that's just a mild form. That's just nothing.
This is the way Himmler did it.
Right.
The person was chained to a board. There was a filled bathtub with icy water. A doctor was standing by. The prisoner was put underwater, so he nearly drowned, then brought up, resuscitated by the doctor. If he didn't confess, they did it again.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that follows the Geneva Convention. Or if it doesn't matter anymore with the Military Commissions Act.
Well, Dick Cheney said all we do is put a plastic bag over their head and pour water on them. That is a lie. But they're getting their techniques from Hitler's Reich.
Well, and there's a lot of ominous parallels there, Grace.
And Kaltenbrunner was hanged at Nuremberg because he took over the Gestapo.
Right, right.
When are the American people going to wake up?
I agree. Grace, thanks for your call. Got to run. We do have a guest today, and we're going to get to him in just a second. But I do have a real quick stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week. And I did find it this time, Mike. I got the right one.
Good.
Bunatine, that's her name, greenhouse. Sits in a cubicle in a far corner of Office of Youth Army Corps of Engineers, and she's been shunned because she's a whistleblower. And basically, and if you hear this over and over again, that if life is very difficult for whistleblowers. And with all the so-called protections and laws that have been passed, it hasn't worked. If you're a whistleblower, you are shunned, you're demoted, you're person non grata. And no difference for the Bush administration, folks. She was a cover girl of the July-August issue of Fraud magazine. And I'm not sure what whistle she blew, but she blew a whistle, and she's being treated very poorly in her job, and it just happens over and over again, folks. And I saw this little blurb, and I thought, well, let's just talk about the whistleblower thing in general, because I don't really know much about this case in particular. But there's got to be a way, a better way to protect those that are, you know, there's supposed to be accountability in government. You know, everybody's supposed to be accountable, right, for their own actions. And it seems that the executive branches these days, Republican or Democrat, but the Bush administration, of course, is the worst at it right now, worse than even the Clintons were, I think, as far as being a law unto themselves and in a so-called what's supposed to be a constitutional republic. That can't stand. Everyone should be accountable, especially the executive branch that has more power than any entity in the world. And we need to start protecting them. Okay, we're going to have Mark McCoy is going to be our guest today. He is the write-in libertarian candidate for governor. So there is somebody else you can vote for out there, folks, and we'll find out more about his campaign in a few minutes. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, 1 block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a 2-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, non-profit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support. All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the program this morning Mark McCoy, Libertarian Party candidate for governor. How are you doing, Mark?
Good, Ken. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thanks for being on the show. A lot of people have been asking, well, when are the Libertarians going to run? And I can say nobody because the ballot access laws are really ridiculous, but you decided to step up to the plate and set up a write-in campaign. And why did you do it?
Well, for a long time I've been pondering a gubernatorial race for myself, but I didn't really know what went into it, and I didn't think I was really prepared this time. It was like maybe, four or eight years in the offing. But after going to the Libertarian Convention in September, where I met you,
right,
and listening to the people speak and, you know, talking about the libertarian ideals and where we were at and what was going to be happening in Illinois, and I started to realize that this was a very significant election because, I mean, we're losing our freedoms, you know, quicker and quicker. It's no longer incremental. It's abrupt. And when, you know, they said, you know, why they didn't have anybody they were going to run this time, you know, because of ballot access laws and just having to fight the system to get equal access to be able to put a candidate forth, my wife and, you know, a couple other people just said, hey, you know, what the heck, let's do a write-in. And I had some free time, so I figured, you know, why not? I've been planning on it, so let's just see how quickly I can, you know, get things together. And in 30 days, I mean, it's amazing, you know, what five people can do and the amount of exposure and interest you can generate. And it's also amazing to realize just how many apathetic, disgusted, just, you know, just battle-worn people there are out there who are sick and tired of the, you know, the two a la cartes on the menu that we have, and, you know, nobody ever asks about the special. And it's, you know, the libertarians, it's, you know, the third parties in general. I mean, just getting third parties on the ballot is good, and, you know, especially with getting write-ins to, you know, try to step up and remove some of the, you know, corruption in the political process by appealing directly at the grassroots level to the voters. So it's probably, I don't know what it is exactly that made me do it, but it was just, I'm tired and I'm angry, and something's got to be done.
What do you see as the major issues facing us in the state here that the governor can do something about?
Well, you know, people, it's like with the presidency. If you look at the Illinois Constitution, I call it my governor employee's handbook. If you look at the authority and the powers of the governor, I mean, all lawmaking power rests with the legislature. That's it. That's the Constitution. The governor is the executive head of the government. So, I mean, he's got, you know, the law enforcement power and things like this, power of pardon, power of veto. And those are the two most important powers, and those are the ones that I would be exercising to the fullest ability. We have a lot of corruption. We've got a lot of bad law. I mean, as far as administrative, I'm the head of the corporation. I control the employees. It's all an administrative, you know, they administer, you know, the laws according to what the governor says they should do. And the directions to those people will be to adhere to lawful administration of the laws and not merely administrative, you know, ways of milking people of their hard-earned money under the pretense of law when it doesn't even comport with common law. It's all administrative statutory law that keeps us ignorant, compliant, and, you know, beholden to the state.
Well, there you go. The governor has a myriad of laws it's supposed to uphold, right, and execute the administration of and to regulate and enforce, and you can't do it all. Right? So you're gonna have to pick and choose. You might have to pick and choose the laws that are constitutional.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Laws under the common law. Illinois is still a common law state. And when you bring up common law, people think that you're talking about some bearded guy with a hat and a shotgun living in a trailer in the mountains. That's not common law.
No.
You know, statutory law is completely different. And it's, you know, like I said, I have to abide by the Constitution. I can't act outside of that because if I do, I'm breaking the law. And that's where a lot of our problems come from. We're so distracted with trying to walk this fine line of, you know, do this, can't do that. Oh, now you have to go to court and spend the day out of work. You know, I mean, we've got to get the law to address when people transgress against other people or their property, not all of this, you know, minutia, you know, like your battle with seatbelts and, you know, ordinance violations and, you know, eminent domain and all these other things. It is up to the governor to say, we will not be enforcing these laws, or if there's people in jail for violating something that was merely administrative and not violent, let those people out of jail. There would be so many people walking out of jail pardoned for nonviolent, you know, non-person-on-person crime type offenses that we make plenty of room for the politicians that really need to be occupying themselves.
A lot of us, you know, and a lot of non-libertarians out there would like to see that. I think they look at this state and say that it's totally corrupt, Republicans and Democrats, and they hold up their hands and say, well, what can we do? I mean, I hear this all the time.
Yeah, Yeah, but you know what? After so long, people start to acquiesce and just say, well, it becomes like, you know, what do you call 5,000 lawyers at the bottom of the ocean?
A good start.
But, you know, now it's getting to the point where Illinois politics is a joke. They know it's corrupt, and people start acquiescing and assimilating into the corrupt process because there's going to be goodies in it for them if they just come on our side and just become corrupt. There's plenty for everybody.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, and the governor, I mean, since I have no, party, established party in office affiliation, I have no qualms about, personally either sending people home or sending people to jail if I find out that they have abused the public trust and violated the law or tried to benefit for their own personal gain. I have no problem doing that. And that's one of the first things I would do. I would put a stop to a lot of the processes taking place administratively in the government just to go through and give everybody an employee review. And if you don't meet the mark, you're gone.
Good luck. Now, the state police from time to time that carry on these roadblocks, safety checks or whatever, do you consider that constitutional?
It is so far from constitutional. It's fascist. It's
the papers, please.
Pardon me?
Is the papers, please?
Oh well, yeah, papers, please. I carry no papers on myself. I am disenfranchised. I am not an administrative entity or creation.
You're a free man?
I'm a free man.
So you, as governor, I assume then you would not permit these roadblocks to continue.
No, I would not permit the roadblocks at all. Anybody engaging in roadblocks, when I send the order out to, cease and desist with these roadblocks, any roadblocks ensuing after that edict would result in the dismissal of the officers or anybody engaging in this. And I also advocate citizens being allowed to bring suit. I mean, this whole, sovereignty, for the state, sovereignty lies with the people. We take a little bit of that sovereignty and we sprinkle it on the state so we don't have a lot of frivolous lawsuits, wasting our tax dollars and time for people just looking for an easy buck out of the state. But if there is a crime or an act that results in the harm or the deprivation of somebody's rights, I think citizens have the right to hold accountable personally the people in office acting to the detriment of their liberty. And we should be taking these guys to court, fast-track them, within 6 months, and if it's found to be so, then they forfeit pensions, anything that happens after they get out of office and need benefit, and they go to jail, period.
Now, so, I want to go back a little bit on the roadblock issue, because some listeners I know are going to say or think in their minds, well, if you don't have roadblocks, how are we going to stop the real, at least the real dangerous drunk drivers out there who are menaces on the road? Don't we need the roadblocks for that? Well, I mean, what would you do to address that issue?
Well, the roadblocks don't really serve a legitimate purpose in keeping drunk drivers on the road. The fact that you're having a roadblock on the road and you find a drunk driver, if that drunk driver's already driven 20 miles to the roadblock, have you really done anything to prevent that drunk driver from getting to the roadblock in the first place? So it's an intellectually disingenuous and illogically flawed argument to make, and just by the fact that you may stop 300 cars and find somebody that may be under the arbitrary .08, statutory definition of what is intoxicated, that does nothing but pander to the needs of special interest groups and things like this. It does nothing to stop real drunk driving. And in the meantime, you've got people being deprived of their rights on the side of the road, and it's just a pretext for invading our liberties further. So, I mean, it does no good for that. If they really wanted to stop drunk driving, then you would have the cops sitting outside of the known bars where people get drunk and drive off, if they were really serious about it. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that that's the right thing to do either. But if they were really serious and it wasn't just a revenue-generating, propaganda, seeking media exposure, oh, aren't the police doing a wonderful thing, they would be more serious about it. So I totally disagree with what they're doing, and it would not be taking place if I was in office.
Okay, what about education? I'm pretty sure that Illinois taxpayers are paying more of their tax money towards the educational system in the state than anything else. Test scores continue to either remain abysmally poor or go down. We're not educating our young. For most, we're indoctrinating them. What would you do to change to make the educational system better and maybe keep a little bit of our own money in our own pockets?
Well, the first thing we have to do is somebody has to say no to Washington, D.C. We're basically implementing a lot of policy and regulations instituted by the Department of Education out of the tyranny that is D.C. in exchange for receiving some of the scraps that they have stolen from our people, through high taxation and other things. So we have to, dance to their tune and at least on the surface appear to be educating our children, no child left behind and all this, which is a joke. And we just keep on perpetuating and feeding a system that, as you said, it does not educate, it indoctrinates. So first thing I would do is I would not be abiding by any of the mandates from Washington, D.C. when it comes to education. Illinois would set the benchmark for the rest of the 49 states to follow in putting together a true educational model. And that is going to start with allowing people who want out of the system out. And that means if they want to homeschool or if they want to go private tutors, whatever the case may be. But
so they can do that. Can't they do that now, Mark?
It's not as easy because Illinois has a compulsory education, a compulsory attendance. Let's put it that way. And to be able to homeschool, you can, but you still have to go through some steps with the state so the truant officer doesn't come knocking on your door and take your children because you're in violation of your contract, to have your children inoculated, indoctrinated, and regulated by the state, or they'll call DCFS on you. So people who want to opt out should opt out. And we have homeschool is one of the better alternatives. I know some homeschool children, and you would think you're talking to a miniature adult at some point because they are around adults. They are not around children all day. And it's not to say that, interaction with children is bad, but interaction with adults, if you start emulating adult behavior as opposed to, childlike behavior, the consequence is ultimately better. And then we're going to have to restructure the funding for it because right now we have teachers being paid to do nothing but occupy a child's time for so many hours a day and then, possibly medicate him and send him home to where, the child then becomes a spy for, DARE or these other things. Let us know what's going on at home. You got a bruise? Do your parents beat you? Do we need DCFS? We've got a nanny state being perpetrated upon the children by the education system. So let's let them opt out and let's get more private funding for education, either parochial schools, if that's your choice, or let people establish their own schools.
So how would you do it? Tuition tax credits or vouchers or
tuition tax credit and vouchers, that's still asking somebody to
Know
that they're still receiving a check from the state for an action.
Right, right. Right now, over 50% of our property taxes are collected for local education.
Yes, and the property tax, people who don't have children in school, they don't need to be subject to that property tax to pay for a failing system. So we have plenty of other constitutional options for taxation. One, if you get the fat out of government and you free some money up there, it's not going to be an overnight success. There has to be a weaning process because people are so, entrenched and ingrained in this process that an abrupt change overnight is going to cause, a major disruption. So it's going to be an overtime. First, you allow people to get out who want out, and then the resulting remaining people are going to be less of a burden because there will be fewer of them. And then we can look for the other constitutional methods of taxation. Corporations are going to start paying their fair share of taxes because they get all the preferential tax breaks and preferential treatment. And I am all for the legal taxation of artificial entities like corporations. I am not for the taxation of natural entities, living, breathing people, because they are the ones that enjoy the rights of their creator and all the protections of the Constitution. Those things created by the state need to pay for that privilege. And that's where the burden would shift as far as funding these things. And if the corporations don't want to submit to that test, then they can go someplace else. But they're also going to be losing out on the people of Illinois' money when it comes to purchasing products, goods, or services through their corporation. So it's going to be a slow shift. I think probably, maybe 2 or 3 years to get the whole plan fully enforced and get the people out who want out. and then start structuring the budget, because I don't have all the answers to that, because it depends on how many people get out and, you know, the new structure for teaching and teachers in general. So, but that's the first thing I do. Let the people out who want out.
Okay, we're talking with Mark McCoy. He's the Libertarian candidate for governor here in the state of Illinois. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. You have any questions, comments, observations, please give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on map scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him. And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with the Libertarian candidate for governor, Mark McCoy. And what do you say we go to the phones, Mark?
Sounds good.
All right, we have Tim. Hi, Tim.
Morning, Tim.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Mark.
Good How you doing,
guys? This morning, Ken. Just a little bit of an aside. Your Illinois indoctrinators commercial needs to be changed.
Yeah, I know.
George Bush.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, and he supports domestic spying, stripping citizens of human rights, and torture.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit worse than
I agree.
He sees BJ, but anyway. anyway, as far as this goes, from the very beginning of the program, you're talking about like whistleblower laws, and talking about accountability.
Right.
And Mark, you were talking about some people, you know, taking them to court. Also, I think we're kind of revolving around an issue called that deals with transparency in government. We're also revolving around an issue of the nature of law itself. People are upset because the law is not being enforced that is there. Human rights are being broken unlawfully with people. And Mark, you said that the people are the sovereign. So the question I have, well, I have a couple questions, but the first one would be is, what is law?
The law is the rules that were put in place to protect our liberties and our freedoms.
By whom?
We recognize we had them inherently from a creator, and we have the individual right to protect them. If somebody tries to assault you or deprive you of your right, you have the ultimate right to use whatever means of force necessary to protect that right. And collectively, as a society and a country, we establish a rule of law that is actually the Constitution. That is the law of the land, and that is under the construct of common law. So it is, common law goes way back. I'm sure you understand. You sound like you're an intelligent guy. So, but common law is, you know, law from England, and as much as it applies here, but not in the English sense, but under the concept that it is person on person, person on property, rape, murder, fraud, you know, robbery, things like that, that take your property because, you know, freedom, our rights are essentially property. You have the right to whatever you own and whatever you lawfully acquire for yourself.
Okay,
and protecting those things, those rights, that is the law. It is not driver's licenses. It is not taxes. It is, those are the processes of administering for the function of government, and those have to be in comport with the Constitution as well. So law is a protection of your liberty.
Well, okay, I can see how that you could come to that. At least that's what law was supposed to be. Obviously, now law is used as a fulcrum against the people, by the people in government to get their way or to control the people. And I think there's a problem with this because there's an issue of philosophically and as a libertarian-minded person, the problem is the nature of law itself and how it is enacted. You had some great ideas, but you're still going to have to rely on the legislature to pass these laws and these ideas unless you're planning on using executive order?
Oh, yeah, I'm using executive order. Executive order only applies to the operation and function of government. It is not
you could
by
executive
to
order,
citizen.
You could, by executive order, then restrict unlawful or unconstitutional activities. And
yes,
that's very gratifying. I'd love to see you in government. I have an.
By the way, Tim, let me piggyback on what Mark said about the law. What I would say, the law is what 12 jurors says it is, or one juror says it is not.
Well, the problem I have with that is voir dire, and with how prosecutors and the state are able to pack juries and get the result that they want.
Understandable. I mean, in a free society.
Well, yeah, philosophically, yeah. Well, here's an idea. I'm wondering, you know, you're all talking about transparency in government and whistleblowing. My suggestion is very simple, and that is individuals, wherever they live, should start a database that's open to anybody that basically says, if you're going to serve us as one of our servants employed by us, we the people, then your life is transparent. Who they are, where they live, where they work, where they shop, where everything. You see, this way, politicians and those people know that the people around them know who they are. They are susceptible. They are at risk. And only
I agree to an extent, but I think if you have, you know, if you have a list of, you know, where the guy shops, well, you know, what kind of clothes do his kids wear and things like that.
Why not?
I think people start forming prejudices based on superficiality, and when people take an oath of office, they are stepping out of their private life into a role. They are adopting a new persona.
No. It is the person themselves. There's no persona. Now you're getting into the concept of a corporate personality or corporate personhood, if you're saying that it's different. No, if you're going to run for office, everything about you should be open. Finances, who you are, where you live, a bit. Because the simple thing is, that's the information they have on us. This is an issue of the exercise of power. It has nothing to do with what's right, what's wrong. Look at the raw power that's exercised by the state against people, whether they're guilty or innocent.
But that's if you're presuming that the power they're exercising is lawful power to begin with, and the whole premise is to limit that power within a lawful, exercisable function,
Exactly.
And that's bringing them down to a size. When they're in that office, they are not Joe, the guy next door to Bob who has three kids who play T-ball. They are Bob, the circuit clerk's position, Bob is accountable for what he does in that office, not in his private life.
Okay. Tim. We really need to move on.
All I'm saying, Ken, is that the people need to have another way to be able to exercise some leverage on these politicians because the courts don't work.
I think in general your point's well taken. We can argue about the specifics.
Okay,
we have to move on.
Okay, have a great day.
All right, thank you. All right, we got Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
And it looks like we just lost Jeff. All right, let's go to Mike then. All right. Hey, Mike.
Morning. Good morning, Mark. Just a quick question. You kind of touched on the tax issue, but, you know, we've had some pretty good court decisions on this. Joe Bannister's decision where they found him not guilty. Here in the state of Illinois, the Gale and Harrell decision that found him not guilty on, you know, federal and state income tax charges. Right there are two court decisions that if you became governor, you could use those as an example and say, until the IRS comes forward and proves, you know, otherwise, I'm not going to make the citizens of the state of Illinois pay these taxes because obviously the courts have not clearly defined this because some people are getting found not guilty, which means, you know, they're not 100% sure of the facts or they can't present a, you know, credible prosecution to get 100%, you know, conviction. So I'm just saying, as governor, would you look at these cases and just go to the IRS and to the Illinois Department of Revenue and say, hey, you're going to stop all withholdings of all these taxes until you show through the court system that you have jurisdiction and authorization to do such?
Okay, listen to me very carefully. I agree with you in principle. I'm not saying that what you're saying is not correct, but I have been researching tax law for over 15 years. I'm going to say, on the surface, I agree with you 100%. I know Joe Bannister. There's also a Vernie Kuglin, and there's also a couple other people I know that were tried for willful failure to file and other charges and were acquitted by a jury. As Ken says, you know, the jury is the ultimate arbiter of what the law is as it applies in this case, so that's true. Now, having said that, I have no recourse over any action by the federal government when it comes to the collection of taxation. When people voluntarily step into a taxable activity or identify themselves as a taxable source, and that's a whole other discussion. You do not, there is no lawful federal taxable law that reaches into the state of Illinois and deprives you of a third of your earnings, and makes you submit a form under penalty of perjury with your signature asking for it back. There's no such law. Now, but people have ignorantly conscripted themselves to a law, and it's not constitutional law. Title 26 of the United States Code is not positive law, which means it has not ever been enacted through the Federal Register to apply to everybody in the country. It is special law. And the Supreme Court cases have said that the legislature deals with taxpayers. It does not deal with non-taxpayers. The latter are without their scope. There is no procedure for non-taxpayers. And if you look at, I think it's Helvering v. Davis is the court case that talks about this. And there's also, you know, Brushhaver versus Union Pacific. We can go on this for hours. But as far as
we don't have time here, so we have to kind of generalize this for the general population out there, Mark, because we're getting arcane here.
Okay, for the general population, you will be first. People have to be educated into what they do that puts them into the taxable position and how to avoid that taxable position when they don't have to be there. Second, I would only enforce whatever constitutional law is enforced in Illinois. And if the federal constitution supersedes that unlawful taxation in Illinois, then I would abide by that as well. So yes, people who do want out will get out, and they will be told how to avoid that lawfully. But any lawful obligation they have, they would be bound to be, you know, to have to see that through. Otherwise, I agree. Only constitutional taxation will be enforced, and everybody else will be out of the system if they choose to be.
Mike, thanks for your call. I got to move on.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, we will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, 1 block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Let me tell you how it will be.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and we still have, do we have Jeff on the line? Hey, Jeff, real quick, buddy.
No problem. You guys are sounding really good. A lot of good stuff going on. What I want to make a comment about is this tax situation as far as property taxes. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mind paying taxes as long as the service is rendered or for the things I use. If I don't use it, I ought not to pay taxes on it. And that's my big beef. It just seems to me it's unfair to people who don't have kids anymore,
right,
or to senior citizens.
Well, just to make it more succinct, let me chime in. Mark, well, I think what you need to do is to differentiate between taxes and user fees. That's what he's talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
A lot of these questions, I'll be posting this up on my website, markmccoy.com, M-A-R-K-M-C-C-O-Y.com. I've got a lot of information and a lot of links to things that speak to these specific issues. The taxation that we have provided for in the Illinois Constitution now, one, it is being misapplied. Two, we do have a new constitution coming up, a constitutional convention coming up, possibly in 2008, and Illinois does need a new constitution. I think people can, I don't want to say suffer through it, but the system as it is now can work if we get somebody in government that was willing to stop government from abusing its power. And two, we need to work on a new constitution in 2008. We need a new constitutional convention, and we need a new constitution. The one we have now is fatally flawed, and we can put these provisions in that will stop the government from doing this thing. So, I mean, your question is complicated. It is a lengthy answer, but all I can say is that I believe people should only be taxed for what services whatever burden they put upon government, and it should not be everybody put in the same miserable boat just because the government says they can spend the money more efficiently.
And that becomes voluntary, becomes a choice, and it really is a user fee instead of really a tax.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks for your call, Jeff. We got to move. How, if somebody wants to vote for you, Mark, how do they do it?
Well, I'm registered. Well, I've got declarations sent off to all 110 voting jurisdictions in the state. They just need to go to the election judge, and my name should be on the list for a write-in.
Right.
They then have to write in. There's a spot on the ballot where my name should be.
They got write in. They got to spell. I'm pretty sure they have to spell the name correctly. So.
Yes. The court or the election board looks for intent. So spell Mark McCoy, M-A-R-K-M-C-C-O-Y. To the best of your ability, and if the intent is there, if it's easily discernible that they were looking for Mark McCoy, the only other Mark McCoy or, you know, whatever on the ballot, then the vote will count. But yeah,
you got a debate coming up when? November 1st?
Yes, at the University of Illinois.
University of Illinois in Chicago.
Yes.
Website, once again, markmccoy.com. Mark, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
All right, very good. All right, on to the quotation of the week. This from Margaret Mead. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. When that